Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. If we haven't met yet, my name is Lori. I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to give an especially warm welcome to some elementary age kids that are in the room today, because typically you guys are in some of our awesome kids spaces. And today you get to be in here and spy on your parents. So now you have a chance to see what they're up to. And you have a chance to ask your parents, what did you learn today in church? Just like I'm sure that they ask you. So I hope this will be a good time for you. And like Pastor Josh said, hopefully you got the kids' handout because we are going to have prizes here soon. So get it out, get it ready, and listen closely. So first, happy birthday, church. And you might be wondering, does she have her holidays mixed up? No. I know that America's birthday is not till July, but what I'm talking about is what's known as the church's birthday. Today, I love that we're singing so much about the Holy Spirit, because today is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost in the Greek literally means 50th. It refers to the 50th day after Jesus rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit came in power. You can read all about it in Acts 2 this week, and you totally should. But according to Acts 1, we know that the disciples and men and women and children, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, gathered in this upper room to wait and to pray, just as Jesus told them to do before he ascended into heaven. The only thing is they didn't know how long they were going to have to wait. We have the privilege of knowing that it was 10 days, but they had no idea. I have this Oral-B toothbrush. Anyone else have these little toothbrushes? Like, I know it's gonna signal me in 2 minutes, and even then, it feels like eternity. So just imagine with me for a minute. Come in and imagine. Day after day, these people are waiting in this upper room. There's no updates. There's no countdown app. There's no cell phones where you can see like, oh, Jesus is typing. No, none of those things. They are waiting and they're praying. They're fearful and they're anxious. And then suddenly, on that 50th day after Easter, there's fire and there's wind and there's power and courage and languages. The Holy Spirit came. So I just want to pause for a minute, and because it's really important for us to understand that God is three persons in one God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And together we call that the Trinity, right? And so what I have found to be kind of a helpful metaphor, it's not perfect, but it's helpful in understanding how God is three persons as one, is to kind of think about an egg. I've shared this before, right? Where you think about an egg having a shell and a yolk and a white. All three parts are important and have their purpose, but they are one egg. It's one egg. That is our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is one, and the Holy Spirit came. And it was for everyone. Now, remember that Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, that Peter that denied Jesus three times? He all of a sudden in this room is full of courage, and he is boldly proclaiming. Okay, let's just start that over. He is boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It's incredible. And there's people, the text tells us, from all the nations under heaven, and they're all hearing it in their own language. There's miracles happening and healings happening. And the church, which is the people not the building, is launched into mission. It's incredible. They start selling their possessions to provide for the poor, and they're united and they multiply, and eventually their love for God and for others through the power of the Holy Spirit launches amazing things, reshapes society, really. Schools and orphanages and hospitals are this outflow of these people who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I imagine that that day, the disciples in particular thought back at some words that Jesus spoke. That rain is loud, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, I wish I could say that was planned, but can you imagine being in that room? Fire, violent wind, all the things. Okay, we don't want that. All right, but this makes a ton of sense, right? So let's look at this. The disciples must have thought this. They remembered what Jesus said. Before Jesus died, he said, "It is to your advantage. It's better for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus was fully God and fully human. And in his fully humanness, was limited to being at one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit is everywhere. It's for all believers at all times, at all places. And he's not just with us, he's in us. It's incredible. And that is not only good news for the early church, that's really, really good news for us today. And I think it's all a part of what Jesus planned for us to have life to the full. We launched this series about 6 weeks ago, giving a definition to life to the full. And in its simplest form, really, it means this: intimate relationship with Jesus. So close, so personal that we know him. We know his voice through his word. We recognize it. And as a result, we can experience his peace and his purpose and his joy for our lives, no matter our anxiety-provoking circumstances. We're going to be talking about anxiety today. And I know that that can be a sensitive subject for some of us, but if we're honest, we've all experienced some level of anxiety in our lives, right? It comes from so many different things. Here's a short list, really. Uncertainty about the future, feeling powerless, busyness, loneliness, painful experiences, perfectionism, negative thought patterns, comparison and digital overload, spiritual disconnection, physical and biological factors like lack of rest or nutrition or chemical and hormone imbalances in our bodies. I mean, this list alone can cause anxiety in some of us. But I want you to know today that there is no shame here. And there is no shame if this is something that you struggle with. And there's no shame if you need or are getting help, because God works through all of that. God works through prayer. God works through scripture. He works through community. And he works through doctors and medicine and counselors and therapists, all of that. And so whether you're experiencing some major anxiety right now, or maybe it's mild, or maybe you're walking alongside someone who is wrestling with this. My hope and my prayer this whole week as I've been preparing, and this morning as well, is that you would leave with biblical truth and some practical tools this morning so that you can experience peace in any circumstance that you find yourself in. And here's the thing, your your circumstance or your friend's circumstance may not change, but how we navigate it can change. Do we agree? And that can change everything. So I want to invite us to lean in, because the truth is the Holy Spirit did not arrive with a 10-year plan, unfortunately. He did not arrive with explanations for our suffering or guaranteed outcomes. He arrived with presence and power so that we can face whatever circumstance we're in with confidence. When I think about anxiety, it's something that I've wrestled with from time to time, so it's personal to me. And sometimes anxiety can kind of steal your breath, quite literally sometimes. But the Holy Spirit breathes life into us. Anxiety says, you are alone. But the Holy Spirit says, I am your God. I am with you. That is really good news this morning. And so today we're going to be in the book of Philippians. And man, speaking of 10-year plans, guaranteed outcomes, all the suffering, Paul, the author of this letter of Philippians, had none of these things. He had no guarantees. He had much suffering. And so I want to give a little context here before we jump in so we really know who's writing this and where it's coming from. So first, before the Apostle Paul was known as Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. He was a devoted and well-educated Pharisee who was persecuting Christians until he had an undeniable encounter with God. Jesus changed everything for him. You can read all about that in Acts 9. But Paul went on three missionary journeys. And on the second missionary journey that Paul went on, he went to a city called Philippi. Let me show you a map here a moment. Paul at this time was way over here, Antioch, Syria area. And his plan, how many of us have our own plans? His plan was to go to the province of Asia next, but by a vision and by the Holy Spirit's leading, no, Paul, don't go here. I want you to go to Macedonia, to the city of Philippi. So this is where, in the city of Philippi, he meets this businesswoman named Lydia. And Lydia is one of the first converts here in this area, and she opens her heart to Jesus. And she opens her home to Paul and his co-workers, and together they help launch the first church, what's believed to be the first church in Europe. How cool is that, right? That was in about 50 AD. Now, Paul wrote this letter, the book of Philippians, in about 61 AD when he was under imprisonment. He was waiting for a hearing. And he is in prison, and that it took the form of house arrest. So Paul was able to rent a house, but before you start thinking Airbnb and, you know, ocean views, that wasn't his case. Paul was in chains. He had shelter, yes, but he was in chains, and he was under constant supervision. He was very uncomfortable and had a lack of food, and all of these things caused great distress on him. He was facing a strong possibility of execution. And so it's in that place that Paul writes these words that we're about to read to a church, a group of Christians who were especially close to his heart. All right, so let's read Philippians 4. Starting at verse 4, Paul says these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I don't know about you, but these words hit differently when I realize where Paul is right now. It's not like he's on a beach somewhere and these words, you know, he's just kind of singing, don't worry, be happy now. No, that's not what's happening. These words are tried. He's chained up. He's uncertain. He's suffering, which means that these words aren't shallow words. They're tested words. And Paul gives us a pathway here in this text. It's not a magic formula by any means, but it's practices that we can do to help us have a more intimate relationship with Jesus and as a result experience his peace. And so we're actually going to look back at the text here in a moment. And I just want to invite you, if you have your Bible here or you have your app open so you can highlight or circle or highlight this pathway. It's really cool to pull this out. And kids, there is a chance for you guys to make notes on here too, because all five of these practices that we're going to find in scripture, I put an R to them. So in hopes that it will maybe help us remember this five-step pathway, they all start with R. All right. So first, Paul starts with this: rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Not sometimes, not when you feel like it, but always. Happiness is not tied, or is tied, I should say. Happiness is tied to what's happening in our lives. But rejoicing in the Lord is tied to who God is and focusing on his character, that he's eternal, that he's forgiving, that he's gracious, that he's kind, that he's loving, that he's faithful, that he's merciful, that he's sovereign, that he's wise, just to name a few. Rejoicing in the Lord is believing and delighting in who God is. It's not pretending life is easy. It's actually celebrating who God is, even when life is hard. The second practice, I added the word here, remember, but the Lord is near. Not eventually, but right now, if you've decided to believe in Jesus, to follow him, if you've decided to do that, you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. I was leading a baptism class about a month ago, and this is so cute. One of the parents was sharing how their three-year-old was having a deep theological conversation about asking Jesus into her heart. And at one point, she just said, I don't want God to live inside me. That's a really big concept to understand, right? I'm sure God didn't take it personally. But friends, let's not rush past this. Remember, the Lord is near. He's near now. He's made his home in us. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Excuse me. Third practice in the pathway is request with thanksgiving. Request with thanksgiving. You know, it is really hard to be anxious when you're practicing gratitude. And Paul had so much to be grateful for, even in his situation. There's always things to be grateful for, right? He could be grateful for his shelter and for his friends who are praying for him and sending their support and even for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Gratitude doesn't deny pain. It refuses to let pain have the final word. But let's be honest, sometimes it is easy for us to spend a lot of energy not practicing gratitude, but time traveling. And that is so anxiety provoking. Let me tell you what I mean by time travel. We time travel to the past, and we have regrets, and we ponder on that. We just soak in it. We replay scenarios in our minds 1,000 times and they just get worse and worse and worse, right? Or we time travel to the future and we wonder in our heads, we think, what if I say this, then they're gonna say this, and then that's gonna happen. And then this, they're gonna say this, and then that's gonna happen. And we worry about all the what ifs. There's a Greek philosopher, Lucius Seneca, that said these words, that we suffer more in imagination than reality. This mental time travel just steals life from us. But Paul says, don't be anxious. And honestly, if this was coming from anyone else, we might just roll our eyes. Kids, wherever you are right now, look to someone close to you and just give them a big eye roll. Okay, now don't do it again or your eyes might get stuck there. I'm just kidding. No, that won't happen. But really, like, if anyone else said this, we might just give a little eye roll. Like, yeah, right. But this is Paul. Paul is saying this. He's chained and he's facing possible execution. And he's saying, don't be anxious. With prayer, make your request to God with thanksgiving. And then there's this amazing promise in this next practice. He says, receive his peace. It's unexplainable. It doesn't make sense. Paul says, it surpasses our understanding. You know, anxiety grows, like when we try to control things. But when our trust grows, our anxiety fades. Trust isn't something here. It's everything. Peace, when we think about peace, it's not the absence of trouble. It's trusting the presence of God in trouble. Final one is reroute your thoughts. Now you might say, I didn't see that in there. Where was rerouting in that verse? Well, that's exactly what Paul is saying. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. We actually have authority over our thought life. Paul wrote about this too, actually, in 2 Corinthians. He said these words, that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I want to invite us to read this together, what I have underlined. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I was listening to a Carrie Newhoff podcast recently, and he was sharing about, he had a guest on that was a doctor, and he just posed the question, why does anxiety keep rising? And this was how she responded. It's a mind management epidemic. It's a result of not managing our mind. Now, as I named earlier, yes, there are other things that cause anxiety. It's not to dismiss that, but from her professional perspective, that's not the majority root cause. And this feels so important to unpack because there are so many people, including teenagers, that are turning to AI for support and how to help them with their thinking. And one of the things that Carrie said on the podcast was AI didn't create anxiety. It found it. Boy, isn't that true? We've all heard the tragic stories of where people have gone to AI to get support, to get help, and there's been tragic endings to those stories. So here's the good news. People are craving something real. I'm seeing it. I know you are too, because I just spoke with someone two Sundays ago who's like a part of it. He knows there's people that are craving real belonging and real community, real prayer, and a real living God. And no machine is going to replace that. This is where we come into play, church. This is our time and our opportunity by the power of the Holy Spirit to come alongside people, to walk with them and support them, help them think through things and help them to reroute their thoughts to what is true and what is right. John Maxwell said these words, that you don't drown by falling in the water, but by staying in it. And when we think about anxiety, it is just crucial, I think, to recognize when it's creeping in and then not stay there as much as it depends on us. And think about this, whatever is causing our anxiety for you, for me, maybe for a friend, it's not because we're broken. It's not because we have some sort of character flaw or lack of faith, but it might be a pattern. And patterns can change. And so I want to actually take some time to think about that and actually put this into play, practice how we're going to play so that we can practice rerouting our thoughts, making a new pattern. And parents and grandparents out there, this is some of the greatest work that you can do for the kids you love, is to help them in their times of anxiousness to reroute their thoughts to what is true and what is right. And there is nothing greater and more true or more right than God's word. And so let's just run a few plays here. I want to start with this question. What is something you feel anxious or worried about right now? You don't have to tell the person sitting next to you. You don't have to shout it out, but grab hold of it. What's something that has you feeling anxious or worried right now? Kids, that's a question on your handout that you can write an answer to if you want to. But maybe you're anxious about going to summer camp or maybe starting a new job. And a way to reroute your anxious thoughts and to think about whatever is true, noble, right, going to scripture and actually personalizing a text like this one. There's lots of them, but this is one of my favorites, Joshua 1:9. And just speaking this in a personalized way, I am strong and courageous, for the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. And just repeating that every time that anxious thought keeps creeping in. This is a practice, remember. So we have to replace these patterns with new patterns, and this takes time and practice. And we're actually creating a new neural pathways in our brain, which is amazing. But here's another one. Maybe it's the what if that has you feeling anxious. What if I don't make the team? What if I don't get that roommate that I requested for my first year in college at the dorm? What if the MRI results comes back with really bad news? Once again, we're going to reroute those anxious thoughts. Find a text that is good for you. But I love this one. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. You guys, I'm not even kidding. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were having a staff meeting and I was sharing how I started feeling anxious about something that we were stepping into. And I just named it and said, I replaced it. I was like, nope, I'm not going there. God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power and love and sound mind. Listen, you got to find the scripture that works best for you and is relevant for you in the situation you're in. I'm just sharing a few suggestions here this morning. Another favorite for me is Matthew 10. I love when Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for less than a penny? And not one of them falls to the ground outside of the Father's care? Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. That's easier for some of you than others, I know. But he says, don't be afraid. You're worth far more than many sparrows. That verse is so special to me. It has been for so many years that I actually have two sparrows on my wrist here as a tattoo. And, somebody got some winners here. Okay. All right, kids. I want that if the candy people can come up, all kids, whether you got all of them or not, you can all get a prize. I'm a millennial mom, so everybody gets an award. Just ask Courtney. She's got lots of ribbons. All right, but come on up and grab your candy and then we'll continue. Good job. I heard Pastor Josh's favorite color was red. So there you go. Mine's actually yellow or green, so I'll take those unless they're spit out. One or the other. If it's okay with your parents, you can go ahead and open those up and enjoy. Thanks, all you helpers. If somehow you got missed or you were too nervous to get up, you can come up after the service. That's totally fine. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And as I've been pondering on that text this last 6-7 weeks now, I began to personalize it. And I just want to invite you to read this with me in a personalized way. John 10:10. Say it with me. Jesus came that I may have life and have it to the full. I want to invite you to read that slower and believe it to your core. Jesus came that I may have life and have it to the full. We really value next steps around here. We talk about it often because we believe that we're all on a journey of growing in our relationship with God. And so my challenge for us this morning is not necessarily to if we could have that next slide, TJ, please. It's not to remember all of these and memorize all of these, put all of these into practice. If you do, great. But take a look at these again for a moment, all on one screen here. Rejoice in the Lord. Remember, the Lord is near. Request with thanksgiving. Receive his peace. Reroute your thoughts. My challenge for you, like I said, is not to remember all five of those. If you do, fantastic. You can actually grab some Skittles next week. But my challenge for you is to just remember one. Which one of these five is most meaningful to you this morning in whatever situation you're in, personally or with a friend? Which one do you want to hold on to this week and just practice? You can take that. Thanks, Skill. For me, I'm going to choose that top one, rejoice in the Lord. I just want to focus more on the character of God, who he is, and just tell him I love him. I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, maybe this is the Holy Spirit convicted me of this, but I tell my family I love them all the time, but I don't necessarily express that verbally to God. So that's mine. You do you. If you want to share which one you chose, I would love to hear. In case you're a little skeptical yet, like, this Paul guy seems too good to be true. Like, did he really hold it all together? Did he really have such an intimate relationship with Jesus that he experienced this kind of peace? Or is this just kind of a one-off? Well, let me tell you one more quick story about Paul. It's from Acts 27. Picture this with me. There's a huge storm, and there are 276 men in a boat, and it's mayhem. They are highly anxious. They're passing ropes under the boat just to hold it together. They're throwing cargo overboard. They're throwing tackle overboard. They're throwing their grain overboard. And then there's Paul. Cool as a cucumber. Peace that doesn't make sense. Why? It's because he trusted in the presence and the promise of God. Friends, that's what a firm foundation will do. We started this series 6 weeks ago talking about that. Are we building our life on the rock or on the sand? Because when we build our life on the rock that is Jesus Christ, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, experiencing his presence, we can that results in peace and purpose and joy. And so I just want to invite you today, as we sing a song in response, you can go ahead and stand. As we sing this song today, you can go ahead and stand. I want to invite us, as we close, to just make this our closing prayer. Just, Jesus, I want to make you my firm foundation. I want an intimate relationship with you so that I can experience you, to know you, to recognize your voice and experience the peace and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.